Matt Zenitz. What's going on, Matt?
Vinny's excited today.
Yeah, he's a little pumped up. Little
the guy
up
said I was waffling. Well, I was giving him Eli. Yeah. If he could do what Eli did last year, because, Matt, you'd say right now that the agent and the Ravens, they're both waiting. They've got to see what direction Joe takes us. Would you agree? Because right now, the last three games, he's fumbled it three times. He's thrown three interceptions. He has stunk up the joint. So how do you pay him? But you'll feel better about paying him if in these next two games he takes off and wins some critical games and takes him into the playoffs. But if he stinks it up the next two, then how do you pay him? Much more than Matt Cassel got.
Working out a long-term contract, needless to say, has become very complicated throughout the course of the year just with the inconsistency.
Thank you.
That Joe's performed at. He's obviously shown flashes of being a top-tier quarterback and really making the Ravens offense into an...
But early in the season.
That's what I'm saying. But the problem is this season, more so than anything else, has been mired in inconsistency.
Yep.
And since September, Joe's taken a progressive step back. And it's been a regression that's been going on for the better part of the last 10 weeks. And I know it's hard to gauge everything off the numbers, but you don't categorize an elite quarterback by throwing for less than 200 yards. And that's something that Joe's done in six of the last 10 games.
Matt, you know, not only has Flacco been inconsistent, but the offensive line has, and you can say one has something to do with the other. Bryant McKinney, does he look like a guy who's in shape, ready to play football right now? What's the story with him? Why is he not playing?
Well, it's hard to get a complete gauge on just his conditioning at this point without seeing him on the field. And obviously this year, after starting all 16 games last year, he's been on the field for just 49 of the team's 900-plus snaps this year. So I'm not sure of his level of conditioning at this point, but what I do know is the Ravens have obviously had problems in pass protection this year. Bryant McKinney, regardless of any other deficiencies he may have, regardless of how much of a headache he may be off the field, he is still the team's best pass blocker. The problem with putting him in, he's strictly a left tackle. If you put him in, I know a lot of people made a big deal and for good reason about getting rid of the offensive coordinator 14 games into the season. The offensive line is all about continuity. And if you put Bryant McKinney in, you're completely shuffling the offensive line because, like I said, he's strictly a left tackle. If you put him in, you're moving Michael Orr to right tackle. You're moving Kelechi Osemele to left guard. You're shuffling your offensive line 15 weeks into the season or 15 games into the season. And I'm sure, regardless of anything else that will go into that decision to put Bryant McKinney in, that will factor into it as well. It'd be a lot less complicated if you were just subbing one person for one person. That's not the case.
Yeah, but the only thing about it is, Matt, I agree with you if everybody's playing well. I mean, KO, here's my issues, Matt, is you got a left tackle that is a right tackle. You've got a right tackle that says he's a guard. You've got a left guard that was a tackle that, you know, has a deal with the equipment guy, you know, because so his pants get dirty all the time so he can get them washed. You got a right guard in Bobby Williams that's done. You know, so I guess, you know, and communication I thought last week stunk. They had too many free runners coming. So I don't think it really matters.
The offensive line has absolutely been subpar. And Michael Orr is a much better fit at right tackle than he is at left tackle. He's an average to below average left tackle.
Yep.
I think he's an above average right tackle. You do, like you said, have people playing out of position.
What would you say about KO at the right tackle? Do you think he's a right tackle?
Well, I'll give you some numbers. And I know.
Go ahead. I love numbers.
And once again, let me reiterate that numbers don't give you a complete assessment of how people are doing, but Mike Orr at left tackle has allowed 8 sacks this year.
Okay.
That's second most among AFC tackles. KO, 7 sacks allowed. So that's 15 between the two of them. That combined total of 15 is second most among a combined group of bookends in the AFC. That's not very good.
So how much of that can you attribute to Joe Flacco's inconsistency?
That's some of it.
I mean, if I'm in the pocket, really, if I'm a quarterback and I'm standing up in the pocket and I'm supposed to stand up strong and know I have time, I'm sorry. I'm a little bit nervous knowing that my offensive line, my bookends, are the second worst bookends in the NFL.
So you figure you'd have happy feet and you'd slide up in a pocket, but Joe doesn't do that.
Look, it's been about the offense as a whole. Joe's been erratic. The running game, the production of the running game has been inconsistent. That's a product both maybe of the running backs, even though I think both of them have been the most consistent on the offense, but I think more so a product of the offensive line being inconsistent in terms of consistently opening running lanes. Yep. And then even the receivers. Right. This was a group of receivers that we said before the year was the deepest and most talented group, not only since Joe's had, since he was drafted in 2008, but since the Ravens have had possibly since they came to Baltimore in 1996. That group, even though they've had flashes, and Torrey and Dennis Pitta each had 7 touchdowns, Anquan Boldin's had some big games, that group as a whole has been disappointing to a certain degree. So the offense as a whole, not just Joe, not just the offensive line, the offense as a whole has been inconsistent and has underperformed. That being said, the talent is there. They still do have the pieces to put it together, but they need to actually do it.
I think one statement that you could make is throughout the season, who has improved offensively? Who has improved? That's one thing. And then would you agree with this statement, Matt, is that the offense that was run last week, especially in the first quarter, that was John Harbaugh's offense?
I think it was just the Ravens' offense. I didn't expect to see much change.
No, what I'm saying is it was a pro set with two backs in the backfield the whole time. When has Indianapolis and Jim Caldwell ever been in a pro set for a whole quarter? To me, that was run, pass. That was John Harbaugh wanting to run the ball. My guess, it looked like Jim Harbaugh, you know, but he doesn't have – you know, the pieces up front, especially that the 49ers have.
I wasn't expecting to see much change in terms of the offense. The players emphasized that throughout the course of the week.
But there was a change because there was no – it was vanilla. Vanilla on top of vanilla. That's what I saw.
We'll see if there's any change from that or shift from that this week. But the one thing that there was, and I know a lot of this came during the second half after they were already down, but there was a lot more no huddle than there was under Cam Cameron, especially in the weeks leading up to his dismissal. And I know players have once again emphasized that there will continue to be no huddle, more so than there was under Cam Cameron, and the team wants to play fast. That wasn't the case last week. We'll see if there's any progression now in the second week under Jim Caldwell.
There he is, my man Matt Zenitz, Carroll County Times. Thanks a lot.
Hey, always fun, guys.
Yep.